Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. We're so excited to be joining you. We're here to talk about your dogs, your cats, and maybe even some small critters. Anything you've got a question?
We've got answers for all of it.
The Marty and Laura Show is brought to you by Veterinary Village. With locations throughout Wisconsin, Veterinary Village is dedicated to enhancing the quality of animal and human lives today and into the future.
All right, you guys, welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. I am Laura.
And I'm Marty, still.
Still Marty, still Laura. And we had to double check that because Marty has spent the last month in New Zealand and Fiji. So I want you all to get your little bit of rage jealousy on.
Now, just put on a hula skirt. You'll be fine.
I've got my jello going on. That's all I got. So, Marty, we're super glad you're back. And
Thank
we
you.
Thought it would be springtime. Great time to talk about grooming our pets and why that keeps them healthy. Whether it is toenail trimming or brushing or ears or teeth or cat claws or whatever it is. So welcome back and let's get right to
it. Thank you. Yes, let's get right to it because it is that time of year for not only spring cleaning, but as pets start to shed more in the spring, they tend to shed twice a year, spring and fall. So in the spring, they tend to loosen up the hairs and let them fly.
Let it fly. And then the birds make nests out of it. And it was so cute. The Akita hair, they get the little fluffy Akita hairs and then they get the wiry wire hairs and they build these cute little nests. It was adorable.
Yeah. You know, we were watching TV the other day and there was a show on Animal Planet, which I haven't subscribed to in forever, but it was the only thing on TV in Fiji. So we were watching it. The only thing on TV in New Zealand, by the way, is The Simpsons and the BBC. So, you know, your choices are pretty limited. And some sports channels. So you have limited choices. But Animal Planet had a show about birds. And there's a bird, and I can't remember the name of it. I could look it up. But it's the only bird, the only animal they know of that can tie knots. So
when it
builds its nest, it builds these massive condos because it can tie knots. And so the hair or sticks or brush or whatever it's using turns into this gigantic condominium of a house. It's really cool.
Okay. So bird's nest out of pet hair.
Yes. I do the same as I brush out my corgis, blow out my corgis, and I let the hair go all over the driveway. If I brush it out and put it in a paper bag, I put the bag outside.
Yeah.
And when I blow out my dogs, I tend to do it on the driveway so that the hair is out there. There's a lot of car washes that people may not be aware of, but at least where we are, and I don't know if it's where you are, the car washes will have a bay between some
of
the car washes that have a dog wash. So you can find them at doggy daycares and the car washes and that kind of thing. And so if you have a dog that you can groom, but it's messy in your house, but you can still get it in and out of the tub, those are really magnificent places to go. Even if you have the ability to wash your dog on the driveway with a garden hose, you don't have the ability to do a blowout. And we'll talk about what blowing out the dog means.
Yes.
But it is magnificent because then it's not all over your bedroom, bathroom. It's not all over your
And you don't have to get on your hands and knees and chase them around the tub and all the things. It is for folks like those of us who do this all the time. We have a raised bathtub and we have a high velocity dryer and we have all those things. And it makes it so much easier. A lot of groom shops will have a self-wash dog wash that's available at a lot of groom shops. And so if you're on a budget and your dog needs a bath to get all that hair out, the really best way to do it is to find yourself a self-wash dog wash. Go there, wash your dog in warm water, not boiling hot, and then use one of the high-velocity dryers and be careful around their ears and their eyes, right? And get that force dryer, we call it, straight into the skin and take a comb or a brush and work that at the same time. And all that loose hair will fly away somewhere other than under your couch and those giant dust bunnies.
Right. The tumbleweeds that blow across your floor. The first nice day of the spring and you open the door and tumbleweeds come out. And it's kind of embarrassing if there's someone visiting you. You're like, there's a whole dog.
There's a flock. There is a flock of dust bunnies under my couch. I don't want to talk about it. really, right. And with, really can't talk about that right now. It's a little
right. And so many people over have, so many people have hardwood floors or luxury vinyl floors, LVP floors, that they don't have carpet anymore. So the carpet no longer is the victim.
Which is good. Which is good. Have you ever pulled up carpet when you live with pets?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. So we try to avoid that. Anyway, it's a great way to do it. You put in your quarters or your credit card and they charge you, you know, by the number of minutes it takes, sort of like the car wash. But the high-speed blower is irreplaceable unless you want to go out and spend several hundred dollars to purchase one yourself, which isn't a terrible idea if you can afford it. But if you don't want to have another piece of equipment and really just don't see the need because twice a year you blow out your golden retriever, it's a wonderful set of tools. They have the shampoo, they have the cream rinses, they have all the stuff. You don't have to pack up all your bag of stuff and just take it along. But I think combs work better than brushes. We can discuss the differences there, but take that along.
Depends on the coat.
You know, yeah, well, it depends. But take along the brush or the comb, but otherwise everything you need is going to be there. And it's pretty great. Some of them even have a ramp to get the dog in and out if it's too large of a dog for you to lift, but they're great. And you did mention temperature of the water, which I think is really important.
Yes.
That it should be tepid or lukewarm, but not hot.
Right. And so when we're showing dogs that we don't want to have the hair all fall out, we use cooler water. And when we are bathing a dog that we want to have the hair come out, we use a little bit warmer water. And so the most important part of bathing and drying and brushing and combing your pet is you have to get to the skin. If you're just brushing the top half an inch of your dog's coat, the part underneath that's up against the skin is not getting the mats or the dead hair or anything out. And so one of the things we were talking about before we came on air is the things that can happen when we don't get all of that dead coat and the dog gets mats up against its skin. So
right. So the one thing I think you need to think about is like with your own hair, when you wash it, you're really not washing your hair. You're really washing your scalp. And I think you should think the same about your dog, as your dog's skin is only going to be healthy if you can get the shampoo down to that level. And make sure when you're using shampoo that you're not using it straight out of the bottle. We need to talk about diluting it down.
Yes.
It's typically about a one part of shampoo to seven part of water dilution is what I recommend for the medicated shampoos. I don't know what your thoughts are. And there's a whole array of non-medicated dog shampoos and a whole array of medicated dog shampoos. But it's important that you're using a dog shampoo on dogs, cat shampoo on cats. There's a difference. You don't want to use human shampoo or other things. Now, you can use Dawn dish soap if you have a really messy situation, like your dog fell into the oil pan in your garage and you have to degrease them, or they got into something toxic. And I think that's an important distinction, is you can use the blue Dawn dish soap. I don't use the green, that's the antibacterial. But you want to use the blue Dawn dish soap, again, diluted to the right proportions.
Yeah.
But that will get rid of some of the really greasy stuff if you have an unusual situation.
Right. It's not what you would use routinely. Right. That's what I was just going to say. This is not a regular, but a really bad pitch or a bad grease or a bad gross, you know,
or toxicity.
Something dead. Yeah.
Yeah. But a toxicity, I think it's really important that people do know that we keep a bottle of Dawn dish soap under the tub in our clinic for that kind of situation. If the dog gets into something toxic or cat gets into something toxic, that will degrease them and eliminate the toxicity from the surface of the skin better than any other product that we can purchase on the dog or cat market.
Yes. So again, getting to the skin is important for a lot of reasons. A healthy skin is important. The dogs can have very bad outcomes if those mats develop in their little pants or under their arms or all kinds of places where the mat will make a raw open wound on your pet.
For sure. So you want to get down to the skin and make sure that you've seen every inch of the skin. When you're blowing them out, it does a great job of separating the hair, and so you can see right down to the surface of the skin. You may not see it during the actual shampooing process. And that's the other thing, is if you have a dog that's matted, you don't want to wash them until you get the mats taken care of. Because if you wash them with the mats, you just felt them tighter to the skin. And when I say felt, I do mean felt, just like the felt that you buy to make hats or whatever out of. It is felted, and it gets tighter and tighter when it gets wet. Just like, you know, when somebody took that wool sweater of yours, your favorite wool sweater, threw it in the wash, threw it in the dryer, and it comes out this big. because it felted down. Yeah, that's exactly what happens with your dog's skin and coat or your cat. So really important to get the mats brushed or combed or clipped. Sometimes it requires
Sometimes you have to shave them out.
Yeah. And they make some really nice cordless clippers now for dogs and cats. So you can buy them. They're like the little mustache clippers that guys use, but they make them for pets and they're cordless and they typically run around $100. But you can buy some really great ones on Amazon that are small. They don't have the power to do an entire Malamute. But if you just have little tiny places that are matted, you can buy a $20 clipper on Amazon. $16 to $20. They come in different colors. They're rechargeable with a USB. And they're a handy little piece of equipment to do if you have just like little mats behind the ears. And
armpits.
Really careful.
Armpits,
yeah.
Feet.
Where the skin is really thin behind the ears and in the armpits, it's really easy to brush burn.
In the groin, underneath in the groin is another place I've used them. The other thing, and again, remember, I did pet grooming. Like I did a lot of this. And the thing that I think people don't really realize when they're taught, well, I'm just going to, you know, cut that, right? I'm going to take a scissor and I'm going to cut that out. And the problem is, particularly if you have a dog that doesn't sit still, that is a much greater risk of injury to the pet when you're using a scissor than if you're using one of these little clippers that as long as you're holding it flat against the skin, you don't dig in, you're not going to harm the pet. And so I guess the most important thing I want people to hear is that getting your dog clean, dry, mat-free, all the way to the skin, over their whole body, is for their health. It's not just to make them cute and put bows in their ears, which is cool. Like, you should do that. But the mat-free and clean to the skin is what's going to keep them healthy. And that, I think, is really important to understand.
Right. So if there is a mat in some of those areas, if you put a comb, typically a metal comb, not the plastic ones you use, but they make metal ones called Greyhound combs you can buy on Amazon or at the farm store, whatever. You put that under the mat and then you can take the scissors to it and you're not going to catch their skin. But I can't tell you how many dogs and cats I have sewn up in those really fragile, thin-skinned areas. Yep. Rabbits, whatever
cats
happens to
particularly.
Be. Oof. Yeah, because their skin is thin. And as you pull on it with the comb, it stretches out and you don't realize that you've caught the skin in that mat. So I had a physician one weekend that came in with his dog. He was a retired physician and he had clipped behind the dog's ear with a pair of scissors and cut the dog. So I sewed her up, sent her home. This was an important lesson for me to learn. He came back the following Saturday with the same thing on the opposite ear. And what I should have done when he was there for the sutures on the first side was take the clippers and get rid of the mat on the other side. That was totally on me for not being able to foresee that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Right. So if you have those, don't wait until you make a mistake. Just get ahead of it. Get your comb, get your scissors, or get your clipper. And then if you do use a clipper, go slowly enough that if you do catch the skin that you don't leave a big tear. Because you can still, if you're pulling hard enough on the skin, tent the skin up enough that you can still catch it with one of those clippers. But typically the 40 blade or the real fine tooth blades on the clippers are less likely than the wider tooth, like a 10 blade. So if you're at the store and trying to figure out what to buy or what it means, the 10 blade gives you a wider cut. The 40 blade goes right down to the skin. That's what we use for a surgical.
Yeah, the best kind for you guys. And this, again, I use them for years. I love them. I swear by them. The Arco, Wall, Bravura, all of these are brands.
Oster.
Oster. Yeah. I'm not sure about Oster's. They're battery operated. They have a blade that goes from, you know, 40
adjustable,
an adjustable blade that goes from 40 up to 9. And I mean, I did the vast majority of my show dog grooming with those, never mind pet dog grooming. Yeah. And so you don't have to buy a separate blade for each length. You just buy this one little thing and it works great. You take care of it. You don't throw it at people.
Right.
That's the important one. Don't throw it at anybody or drop it on the floor, but otherwise.
Right. So I'm going to do just a shout out here. The inexpensive clippers don't have a blade that can be replaced or sharpened, but the more expensive clippers like the Osters and the other brands, Walls, will have a blade that pops off and you can send it in for sharpening. Now, there are mobile people that sharpen blades. There's a lot of ways that you can do it, but I'm going to give a shout out to a place in Wisconsin that for 50 years, literally 50 years, I have been sending people there. It's called Service Grinding. It's in Hayward, Wisconsin. Huh? They, without a doubt, do the best job of sharpening clipper blades or scissor blades or whatever it happens to be and sending them back to you neatly packaged, oiled, and beautifully done. I have never had a bad blade set come back, and I've had other places that I've sent them that it hasn't worked out as well. Mm-hmm. They have been there for literally, it's probably a second or third generation family. It is a fantastic place, and your turnaround time is really quick. So we'll wait until we have 6, 8, 10 blades to send in because we go through a lot of them at the veterinary clinic, and I'm sure you did as well. I just don't trust the mobile guys as much because I've had bad experiences with the mobile ones and great experiences. And so it's called Service Grinding Hayward, Wisconsin.
There you go. For those of you who aren't going to go through a clipper blade every week, like I used to do in the groom shop or like Marty does in the vet clinic, the little Arcos with their adjustable blades, you're not going to use it enough times to wear that out, but little ear mats, little armpit mats, little groin mats, the long hair on the bottom of your dog's feet that pick up mud and foxtails and all the rest of it, you just hold the blade flat against their paw, run it backwards, done. It's just a really, I think, safe and easy way. Pay attention, obviously, don't get crazy, but it is a safe and easy way to keep your dog or your cat healthy. We can use those on the pads of the cat feet too, to get those long, fluffy cat paws shaved down.
Doggett simplifies the puppy buying journey by connecting families with the perfect breed and responsible, health-verified breeders. They are the only breeder marketplace that verifies health clearances and responsible breeding practices. Through their personalized puppy matcher tool and matchmaker services, they educate and guide buyers every step of the way, ensuring a seamless process and a perfect match for their lifestyle. From initial breed consultation to introductions with top breeders, Doggett makes responsible puppy ownership easy and stress-free.
So the next one I was thinking about in terms of health of the pet that our grooming is responsible for, ears, cleaning ears, pulling hair out of ears, all of that kind of stuff. Talk about some of the things that can go wrong and why it's so important that we get on it, favorite products, all that kind of stuff.
Sure. So any of the dogs that need grooming regularly that grow continuous hair, mm-hmm. Bichons, poodles, doodles, schnauzers, any of the dogs that require a regular maintenance grooming that don't shed, the downside to not shedding is they don't lose the hair in their ears. The upside to not shedding is you don't have to worry about the dust bunnies under your couch. But you need to pretty regularly keep the ear canal free of hair. Now, they do make an ear powder, and that's what it's called, ear powder. Mm-hmm. Pretty magical name. So you put the powder in the ear, and then you can reach in a little bit easier with your fingers and get a grip on it, and it doesn't hurt as much when you pull the hair. But I have also, for many years, used Nair. I usually use the Nair like people use on their legs to get rid of hair, the Nair with aloe in it, and you can put that down in the ear canal with a Q-tip. Don't just squirt a big in, because if the dog shakes its head and it flies out and hits you on the eyebrow, I am not responsible for the loss of your right eyebrow. So put it in gently and then leave it about 15 minutes and then go back in with just a Q-tip. And if you spin the Q-tip in their ear, it lifts the hair out. Now, it may not get every hair in the first treatment, so don't be overly aggressive, because if you are pulling the hair or using too much Nair, it can irritate the ear canal.
Yeah.
And end up with an ear infection.
I think an important piece of that is put a little dab, just like you would do on your own face, put a little dab on the inside of the ear, let it sit, wipe it off, and make sure that your dog isn't going to have a reaction to it. Because if you get down in there with a whole gob of Nair and you find out that your dog is sensitive to it, allergic to it, what have you, you've got a real problem. So test it first on just this little bit right here before you go all the way into the ear canal with the Nair.
Right.
That would be my suggestion.
Right. So keep the hair out of the ears, because that hair traps moisture, and dogs should not have earwax and cats should not have earwax. Children have earwax, ferrets have earwax, dogs and cats do not. So anytime you're getting earwax out, if you're cleaning the ears,
brown goo,
and you're getting brown or yellow or whatever color or smelly stuff out of the ear, that means the dog or cat has an ear infection and you need to call your vet and go in and get medication, because it's not normal to have discharge in the ear. So the hair traps the moisture, allows yeast and bacteria to become a problem. And if we have dogs with allergies, food allergies or pollen and mold allergies, they will end up with a secondary ear infection. So keep the hair out of the ear canal, keep it free. And for some of the dogs, even shaving out below the ear, down the face a little bit, and on the inside of the ear flap. So you don't have to shave the ear. If you have a beautiful, long, you know, Cavalier or Springer or, you know, whatever hairy ear dog that has those heavy ears, you don't have to shave the outer part because that cosmetically looks weird, but you can shave the inner part, the part that touches their face, on the inside of the ear flap, and that will lighten up the ear, make it less tight to the head, allow better ear circulation and less ear infection. So those are simple things that you can do. And I'll tell you that the hot spots that we see on dogs just below their ear, hands down, are the most difficult to clear up. Most hot spots, and we can talk about that in a couple minutes, but most hot spots will clear up with antibiotics, steroids, and a topical cream within a few days. But the ones on the side of the face below the ear take weeks. So get ahead of that. Don't let that happen. If you have a dog that tends to have those issues in the spring and fall with allergies, just get ahead of it. Keep that hair shaved short, not nicking the skin, because as soon as you nick the skin with a clipper or a scissor, then you set them up for a skin infection, a hot spot. So be aware of that. And if you want to spend less money at the veterinary clinic or the groomer, if you learn to do some of this stuff yourself, now I'm not saying that you shouldn't go to the vet or go to the groomer. I think they're wonderful people. But just be aware that you can get ahead of it and save yourself some veterinary bills. And that's one of the things, is that we are talking about the cost of veterinary care. And if you learn to do some of these things and buy a $20 clipper and learn how to bathe your dog at the grooming shop, with the quarters that you put in the machine, you are going to save yourself a lot of money. So it does pay for itself to learn to do some of this. Well, so get ahead of it.
The bottom line, again, I'm going to come back to it. Your pet is healthier if it is well-groomed, if you clean its ears regularly, if you clip its toenails regularly. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But the things that we're talking about that are regular maintenance, if you're not going to do any of them, you need to have your pet to the groomer every 4 to 6 weeks, because these things need to be done. And if they are not done, and that's fine, and that's completely fine. But if they're not done, your pet's health suffers. And that's the crux of what I want to keep coming back to. Talk to us about toenails. I'll help you. We'll talk about the trimming part, but why is it that trimming them is so important from a health perspective?
Sure. So if the toenails overgrow, it tends to distort the toes, the position of the feet when they walk. So instead of having the ability for them to touch their pads to the floor, if the nails are meeting the floor first, it's going to push the toes up in the air, and they're going to walk with their feet in this kind of gnarly, weird position, which is going to cause them pain, arthritis, some other issues. So we want to keep those nails nice and short. The other thing is, don't forget about dew claws, especially if they're on the rear legs. They tend to be overlooked when their nails are trimmed. Dogs have four toes on the front and the back. All dogs have a front dew claw. All dogs are born with one. All dogs are born with one. A few dogs are born with double or triple, but not all dogs are born with rear dew claws. Cats are typically not, they have polydactyly. So you have to remember to trim that one, because I've seen them grow around in a circle and back into the skin or the foot pad, and that's very painful for the dog. And if you're suddenly seeing your dog lick, 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 lick at their back leg, and you pull the hair back and you realize what's going on, then you need to take a newspaper and bap yourself on the head, because you did not do a good job of keeping your dog's nails trimmed and appropriate, comfortable length. So you shouldn't hear your dog click across the floor. You shouldn't hear your cat click across the floor. They should be able to walk silently with their foot pads, the four pads on the foot touching the floor. And if their nails are causing that distortion, you need to work really hard to get them back. And that's hard. It's a lot easier to keep up with it than it is once the quick grows out. It's pretty hard to get it back without causing the dog a lot of discomfort. So get ahead of it before it happens. Again, it's one of those proactive things, is if you can be proactive, you're going to save your dog pain and you're going to save yourself money. So don't stop at Starbucks. Instead, buy yourself a nice nail clipper, buy yourself a nice bottle of dog shampoo and a nice clipper.
And I think the important part of the question is, so many people struggle with this. And I feel you, I hear you, I got you, all right? So whether you use a scissor type of nail clipper, we do not recommend the guillotine type, where it goes like this and it looks...
Oh, I actually do.
Oh, do you? I don't.
I actually prefer
scissor
it.
Kind.
There's definitely schools of thought on this. So there's one that comes from the side, like a scissors. And then the guillotine comes from underneath and cuts the nail. I think that pinches the toe less. So I have good success with that, but not everybody does. You just have to know what works well for you. They make some with a light on them in case you don't see well. They make some with a stop so you can't put the nail too far through. But essentially, what you need to do is from baby on, the instant that dog comes into your life, you start on a weekly basis of trimming those toenails, just a little nibble on the end. And a lot of people are afraid of cutting it too short. And I understand that because it does bleed and it is painful. So you want to start them when they're little and you give them peanut butter or cream cheese or something delicious while you're doing it. So you trim the nails, somebody else feeds them. I like to flip them so that they sit with their feet up, all four feet, like in the air. So they're sitting on my lap, even when they're big dogs, if you've taught them to do this, when they're little babies, they're cooperative. So sit them in the lap, all four wheels up, no four-wheel drive. And if you do that, they don't struggle. You have somebody feeding them peanut butter, cream cheese, marshmallow cream, cheese, whatever happens to be your dog's preference to keep them distracted. And if you do it really quickly, because you can learn to do this fast, just you take the little tiny nibble off the end, boom, you're done in 3 minutes. And the dog doesn't have a bad experience. You will forever be grateful for that dog's cooperation.
I second all of that. The other thing that I think has a lot of potential to be used for folks that are just really nervous about a clipper is the little grinders, right? So this is the same kind of thing that your nail stylist uses on you for your manicure, or if you're a guy that the woodworking that you do, okay, same thing, same basic concept. And you just do a little, you got to do it gently, not hold it hard against the nail. But if you do that quickly, it just keeps them down. It keeps the sharp edges off. Right? So the same kind of thing. You don't want your dog's nails cut sharp and they cut you, all of those kind of things. But the important, really important part is that whatever method you use to trim your dog's toenails or your cat's, you have to be comfortable and confident. Because if you are comfortable and confident, your dog will find that same behavior. And I think that that is just a really, really important part for people to understand. Find a way that you're comfortable with it, because if you're not scared, the dog won't be scared either. That's an important thing.
Right. Learn early. Now, when I use the nail grinder, they make some inexpensive nail grinders for dogs, but tend not to have the amount of power that it really takes. So if you buy the $20 one, it's probably not going to work very well. You need to buy a little bit nicer one. They do make a cordless one, and it does have a light on it. So again, it's easier to see what you're doing. And in my experience, if I hold the nail grinder in my hand and then anchor my thumb against the dog's foot, it tends not to bounce up and down as much. So it makes it a lot more comfortable for the dog rather than this thing that is just and constant. And it, if they get used to the sound and the feel of it when they're babies, it works out really well. Now, I think groomers are the most magical people on the planet.
Yes, they are.
They blow my mind. I will have people that come in and we can't trim their dog's nails. They won't let three of us, you know, help the dog to lay still. We don't want to over-restrain. We have to be really careful with all the fear-free information that's out there. But your dog has to learn to cooperate to do this to a certain extent. And groomers will come in and I'll have clients come in and say, yeah, my dog is perfect for the groomer. I don't know why you're having trouble. Well, groomers are freaking magic people.
I don't know how they convince
the dogs to do this. And I will tell you, every now and then, a dog comes in with a little nick in the skin or a little too short a toenail, a little ear infection in the ear from the groomer. And it's not the groomer's fault. Sometimes it just happens. I don't know how groomers can not zig when the dog zags and not end up nicking the dog. They absolutely are magical because they're doing this by themselves most of the time. Like one person can hold the dog, do their nails, do their ears, do the shaving, do the grooming, do the bathing. And I'm like, what? They did this alone? So
always
respect your groomer. And take good care of the groomer, because you want to make sure that you have a good relationship with your groomer and that your dog likes your groomer. Because if your dog likes it there, it's going to be the difference between having an easy dog to groom and a dog that's difficult. So take your groomer a nice gift every time you go in, you know, a cup of coffee or a bottle of wine or whatever.
A tip. I promise you that little 10% tip makes a difference depending on groomers, depending on the shop. The groomer may be paying a percentage of their income to the shop. They may not. It just depends on the setup. Yeah. And that's the other thing. If you know that you just can't do it, like it's just too much, like it's, you know, fine. But that means that you really do need to invest in every 4 to 6 weeks that your pet goes to the groomer. Find a good groomer, find somebody you like, find somebody the dog likes, but don't do it every year. Like once a year is not sufficient. And I promise you, I worked in Nebraska. I had a lot of once a year farm dogs. And that was one of the most stressful things for me and for the dog because the toenails were out of control. They were infested with ticks. They were matted to the skin. It was just awful. And it was terrible for the dog. Taking care of your pet's health really means regular grooming.
For sure. So many years ago, we had two groomers. They were fabulous people. Dog people that groomed for us at the vet clinic. And we had a guy that called one day and I happened to pick up the phone and he called and he said, do you have any openings in the grooming shop? And I said, yeah, when do you need it? He goes, can you do it today? Well, let me check. So I checked with Karen and she's like, sure, no problem. He comes in with a dog and he had started to try to groom the dog himself and realized it wasn't going to work out well for him. He had a disaster on his hands with the dog's coat length and how the dog was cooperating. It was just a mess. I said, sure. Come in. Karen will take care of you. So we admit the dog. Karen grooms the dog. Wife comes to pick up dog. Wife takes one look at dog and starts shouting about how could you have done this to my dog and how did you cut her short and blah, 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 blah. And I said, I happened again to be at the front desk. It was a tiny little building. And I said, whoa, come with me. Come into the exam room. So I took in the room and I said, okay, so what do you know about this? And she said, my husband said he dropped off the dog for grooming and this is what you did to her. I said, okay, I was here when she came in. I was here when your husband called. He had chopped up the dog's coat so badly. I mean, he didn't hurt the dog, but it looked dreadful. And so the dog went home with a nice uniform looking, nice short cut, but it wasn't what she had left the house this morning looking at.
Thinking like.
And I said, no. You don't understand how bad this dog walked through my door looking. And of course, it was before we had cell phones, so I hadn't snapped a picture of her on the way in. And the wife calmed down and she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, honey, let me just say the groomer saved your husband's hiney. So please do not accuse my groomer of having done this to your dog.
Right.
So take good care of your groomer, folks, people.
That's the important part. If you're on a budget and you can't afford to have the dog in every 4 to 6 weeks, we will help you learn how to do it yourself. And if you just are not up for it, then you need to budget for it. And your pet's health absolutely depends on it. So that's what we have for you today. I just want to remind everybody, like the show, subscribe to the show, share it with all your friends and relatives. We are really, really excited to continue being able to let you guys have some really great information from really reliable sources. So,
can we talk about hotspots?
We can.
Can we briefly? Okay.
Yes.
Great. So hotspots, I think, are really important for people to understand. They're actually called acute superficial bacterial pyoderma. So it's a shorthand for that long phrase of a bacterial infection in the dog's skin. Hotspots are typically found as really inflamed, hot inflammation of the skin that can be weepy, oozy, gooey, messy, and they're itchy for the dog, so the dog starts to scratch, bite, lick, chew, and it spreads like wildfire. It can spread. It can double overnight in size. So anytime the skin is broken or inflamed, it can start and then turn into kind of a bit of a mess. Mm-hmm. So this is a reason to keep your dog's allergies under control, to keep the dog's coat from being matted, to keep the dog's ears from being infected. So getting ahead of those things will significantly reduce hotspots. There are some really good allergy meds on the market now that we didn't have before, and a new one has just come to market from Merck this week. Mm. So they're all brand new products on the market in the last 10 years. They're much easier to use than steroids. But just be aware, if your dog does have a tendency to have hotspots, that you can carefully manage them with the right medications, the right diets, and some of those things. So if your dog is developing a hotspot, which is a wet, gooey lesion that can start from any break in the skin, whether they scratched it themselves or they ran into a bush or something out the yard, get ahead of it quickly. Don't wait until, you know, several days, because they're going to get bigger and bigger every day. And then we have to shave the hair off of that area and then a rim of normal skin out around it. Yeah. So please be careful that you are attentive and try to keep ahead of that.
Yeah. Hot spots, again, a very much of a spring into summer kind of thing. The time that we're watching for them as they're dropping their coat, maybe there's fleas that they get scratching at, whatever it is. Hotspots are a mess.
Indeed.
All right. Well, Marty, thank you so much, everybody. Yes. Thank you for joining us. Keep your pet groomed for good health. Yes. All right. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you for joining us on the Marty and Laura Show. We're excited to bring you these unique, fun, fact-based conversations about pet health. From pro tips on selecting your new dog to what your cat's cough means and what you should do about it. We'll meet you wherever you are, in the car, on the treadmill, walking the dog. And we'll bring you a good laugh, a great story, and a bright idea every week. We hope you'll join us on social. Stop by the website to sign up for an extra tip of the week for your pet. While you're at it, do us a favor, please, and leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. The Marty and Laura Show is produced by Pure Dog Talk, Inc. Sound design and editing by Premium Audio Services.